Welcome to A Word Fitly Spoken with author and speaker, Dana Rongioni. A program designed to strengthen your faith and encourage your heart.
Psalm 142. At the very top, it says, a mashkal of David, which means a contemplation or a thought. It says a prayer when he was in the cave. That's when he was in the cave hiding from Saul. So I want to read real quick, and you don't have to turn, but in 1 Samuel 22, verses 1 and 2, this is the setting behind the psalm. Okay? David has been promised the kingdom, but when the crowds were cheering, you know, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s, Saul became jealous and tried to kill David. David ran. That's where we are. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him. And he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. Okay, that's a kind of a familiar, but that's where we are. Where David, his brethren are there, and these 400 other men who are kind of a misfit crew, in debt, you know, discontented, in distress. They got problems. They've got problems. That's where we are. So keep that in mind as we hear David's words. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. David is literally, truly, just pouring his heart out to God. Have you ever complained to God? Oh, yeah. You know, just poured your heart out. It's comforting in a way because, you know, you can vent to God and he doesn't take it wrong. You know, you have to be careful who you vent to because they think you're venting the anger. You know, they think you're angry or frustrated at them and you're not. You're angry or frustrated at the situation, but it comes across as you're angry or frustrated at them and then they get mad. And then you have more to vent about. You have to be careful who you vent to and when you vent. If that person is already in a bad mood and they need to vent, the venting session does not go well. It does not go well at all. We have to be careful who we vent to, but we know that God is unchanging. He's unaffected by mood swings, you know, and he understands that when we vent to him, we are not venting at him. Okay, we are pouring out our hearts and our complaints. We're not accusing him necessarily, okay? And he understands that. People may not. People may misread it. They may misinterpret it. We may come across as truly as I've had people vent, and I'm thinking, why are they mad at me? I didn't do anything, you know? They're not. They're just venting, and right now they're mad at everybody, you know? We get that way, but God understands that. And that's why David said, you know, he said, I poured out my complaint. I mean, I'm complaining. He flat out said it. I'm just complaining to God. And sometimes we need to do that because if we hold it all inside, that's that seed of bitterness that we've talked about before. And holding it all in is not a good thing. We need to vent. But if we're going to vent, let's vent to somebody who will understand. We don't need to go tell everybody, you know. Let's just pour it out to God. One thing will feel so much better when we get it out. I'm a crier. I will cry at happy things. I'll cry at sad things. I'll cry at movies. You know, I just cry for no reason at all. I mean, I'm a crier. But when I need to cry, if I try to hold it in for whatever reason, I'm miserable until I get it out. I mean, and I get it out. And I had one of those days the other day. I had all this stuff to do. I had these errands to run. My day was packed. I went out to get in the car, I turned the key, and nothing happened. I had a dead battery. I was like, okay, you know. I had a charger, you know, one of the, you plug it into the outlet in the house, you know. Jason walked me through how to, because I didn't know how to do it. I should, but I didn't. He walked me through how to do it, you know, so I felt all important. I'm charging the grid, you know. And he said, now go inside, go have your lunch, sit down, calm down. He knew I was stressed. He said, calm down. Just, he said, the longer you let it charge, the better it'll be. You know, he said, then after lunch, after you've settled, just, you know, he said, go back out, do this, turn the key, you know. I did. I waited 2 hours, not one, 2 hours. Nothing happened. I said, it's still not working. I have to get this check in. I have $4 in the bank. I have to get my check in the bank, you know. And I have to go to the grocery store. Well, I don't have anything for dinner. And I got, you know, he's like, calm down, you know. So anyway, we went through all that. Finally, he gets home at 1:30. Check has to be in the bank by 2 for it to count, you know. He gets home at 1:30. He finds out there's the connector is loose on the battery, and that's why my charge was doing no good. I've had it plugged in all day, and it's doing no good. So he fixes that right up, you know, starts the car. Now, why couldn't I do it? And I told him something didn't look right, but he said it was fine, but he couldn't see it, so, you know. So we flew to the bank. Thankfully, the bank wasn't far. Got it in at like 1:47, I think it was. I was like, okay, you know. I said, now I need to go to the grocery store. I said, let's go to the grocery store. Well, we walked in, and he said something jokingly. I mean, just, you know, can't believe he did that or something. Just, and I knew he was teasing, but I had held it in all I could. So I'm standing in the grocery store, and I'm bawling. I'm so, you know, people are walking by. I couldn't stop. I had to let it out, you know, and I'm thinking, I'm going home now because I've just embarrassed myself to death, you know. And he's going, what did I say? It was a joke. I was kidding, you know. That's the way we are. Well, David, even being a man, he had reached that peak where he's just like, I can't hold it anymore. I can't hold it. I mean, this is not what I was promised. I was promised a kingdom, not a cave. Not same thing, you know. And he's in the point now where I've just got to vent. And some people say that's wrong to tell God your problems, you know. I don't think so. I don't see anything in the Bible. I think the Bible says the contrary. I mean, it says to pour out your heart to him. That's telling God your problems, because I have problems on my heart. So that's what David's doing. In verse 3, he says, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. Overwhelmed is probably one of my favorite words. Because when I can't figure out, I know something's wrong and I just don't feel good. Not physically, but spiritually, emotionally, you know. When I can't think of the word, I just use the word overwhelmed. And I thought it was interesting, the Hebrew word that's translated here, overwhelmed, actually means muffled. My spirit's muffled. Well, think about a muffler on a car. What does it do? Yeah, it quiets it, you know, it holds it in. And that's what he said. My spirit, I can't get out what I need to get out. I can't, my spirit that's supposed to be that renew a right spirit within me, that right spirit's trapped, and I can't get it out. You ever try to make yourself in a good mood? It doesn't work. I've done it. I'm going to be happy today, and I'm going to be happy now. It doesn't work. And no matter how hard you try, it doesn't work because our spirit's muffled. It's overwhelmed. And we have to get it fixed from the inside, not the outside. But I love that word, overwhelmed. But it says, even when I'm overwhelmed, God, you still know my path. You still know what's before me. Even though I don't know. I can't even get through today. I can't fathom getting through today. It's been a horrible day, you know. God still knows my path. He still knows he sees how each piece is going to fit in and how it's going to work out. This verse is probably, I think, one of the saddest verses in the Bible, verse 4. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. And you have to remember, David's in the cave with how many people? Over 400. Over 400 people flocked to him. And he says, there's nobody with me. Nobody cares. You can be lonely in a crowd. You can be surrounded by friends and family and feel like nobody cares. Nobody understands. I don't know how our minds can figure that out or fathom that. But I think, too, David understood that those people were coming to him because they needed him. They were coming not as, David, what can we do for you? David, we want you to do something for us. We want you to be our leader. We want you to help us band together. You ever feel like you could drop off the face of the earth and nobody would notice or care except for, well, who's going to do their job? You know? You ever feel like that? And you know it's not true, but like Tracy said this morning, there's that adversary, and he plants some of the dumbest thoughts in our head, and we believe them. And that's where David is. He says, there's all these people, but they just want what I can offer them. They don't want me. They don't want to help me. They don't care about me. They care about what I can do for them. That's all they care about. And that's heartbreaking. But what's even more heartbreaking is what I didn't really understand until I read through it. And I thought, oh my goodness. It says, I looked on my right hand and beheld, there was no man that would know me. In Psalm 16, verse 8, and you don't have to turn there. David, same David, says, I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. In verse 5 of the same chapter, he says, thou art my refuge. But in verse 4, he says, I looked at my right hand, which that's my left hand, but right now it's one I'm gesturing with. He said, I looked at my right hand, and there was nobody there. My refuge failed me. Well, who did he say was his right hand? God. Who did he say was his refuge? God. He's not just saying these 400 people don't care about me. He's saying God has forsaken me. I looked at my right hand and you were gone. You were gone. Where are you, God? You ever pray that? Where are you, God? If you were here, surely this wouldn't be happening. Why have you forsaken me? We always have to remember when those times when we feel forsaken that Jesus spoke those words on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He spoke those words so that we would never have to. Because we will never know what it's like to be forsaken by God. To feel forsaken, yes. To be forsaken, no. We'll never know that. But that verse breaks my heart because I can relate so well to the times when I thought, nobody cares. Nobody cares. Not even God cares what happens to me anymore. And I think that's when we get to that depth of our pity party. And I think that's where a lot of people decide to end it. Nobody cares, so why should I be around? And I think that's why we have such a high suicide rate. I really do. And for those who say that Christians don't get discouraged, they need to read the Bible. They say, well, Christians can't be depressed. Yes, they can. Yes, they can. They can be depressed. They can be oppressed. They cannot be possessed by devils because we are already possessed by the Spirit. Preachers talked about that. But we can certainly be depressed. Read your Bible. Look at Job. Look at Elijah after the greatest victory. Look at David. We can get depressed. But we have somebody to help us through it. And that's the difference. That's what changes these Psalms from the pity party to the praise party. Is somewhere along the way, David remembers, wait a minute, I'm not alone. I'm not having to face this by myself. Verse 6. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Like I said, that's where we think we're all alone. That's where we're just at that bottom of the pit. I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. I think right there something started to click. They're stronger than I am. So what can I do about it? How many times in the Psalms, and I didn't look up all the different verses, but there's one right there. I just literally just flipped the page in Psalm 118. The Lord is my strength and song. I don't know how many times it says that in Psalms. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my strength. Could it be that David's writing this down? He says, I don't have any strength. Wait a minute. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my strength. Doesn't Paul say, when I'm weak, then I'm strong? David said, I'm as low as I can get. That's pretty weak. So what does that mean? That means God is strong. That means God's about to show that strength through David's life. He says, bring my soul out of prison that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. Bring my soul out of prison. And we kind of talked about this several months ago, I think, about being in the prison. Not a physical prison with bars, but we all have prisons that we feel like we're held captive from time to time. Maybe we feel like we're held captive by our worry. Can't do what you want to do. Can't be free to live in peace because of the worry. Captive by financial burden. I can't help people like I want to help them. You know, those people in need. I'd love to write a check for $100, but I told you I have $4 in the checking account. I can't. How do I write a check for $100 when I don't have $100 to give? I feel imprisoned. I feel bondaged. You know, I feel captive. Circumstances beyond your control. Can't they hold you captive? You feel like you just can't do the things that you should do or you want to do. Health problems. I want to do this, but my body won't let me, you know? We are held captive by so many things. And I think sometimes we don't even realize it. But I like, and that was when we talked about this, talked about what Zechariah says. He says we need to be prisoners of hope. And I love that, prisoners of hope. Because remember, hope, we said, doesn't mean think so, maybe so, hope so, you know, wish. That's not what it means. It means to expect. We need to be prisoners of expectation, of expecting good things. And that's where David, I think, finally snapped. It finally clicked. Seven verses, and it's the end of the seventh verse where things flipped around. He says, bring my soul out of prison that I might praise thy name. And now look at it. The righteous shall compass me about. Well, didn't he just say a couple verses ago he was all alone? Now he's saying, all the righteous are going to gather around me. Oh, wait a minute, I'm not alone. He's getting through those lies. He's that prisoner, and he's getting through those lies. For thou shalt deal bountifully with me. There's that hope. That expectation. Not, I think you're going to take care of me. You will take care of me. That's what that means. You're going to give me above and beyond what I could ask or think. You're going to take care of me beyond what I can fathom. Is that a mood swing or is that a mood swing? Oh, this is so terrible and I'm so low. But you're a good God. You're going to take care of me. What made the change? I think a few reminders from the Bible, first of all, from David's own words himself. I mean, it's hard when you have to eat your own words. And Jason's bad reminder. He said, remember what you said in your blog? Don't remind me what I said. I don't want to hear what I said. Because I don't want to eat my own words. But David had to eat his own words. The Lord is my right hand. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my refuge. The Lord is my shelter. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is... And he had to go back and he said, wow, the Lord's pretty good. It's not so bad after all. And I think that's probably the most important thing when we get to where we're down and it just looks like there's no way out and we're so discouraged and it seems like nobody cares. And it's like nobody even cares, so it doesn't matter, you know. God cares. And if nothing else, pick up this word. And start reading. You don't know where to read? Turn to the Psalms. Pick one. I guarantee you it'll be a blessing. It doesn't matter which one you pick. Pick one. There's 150 to choose from. Pick one. Start reading. And you won't be able to put it down. And before you realize it, you do feel better. You didn't change your mood. God did. You didn't change your attitude. You didn't force yourself to be happy. God reminded you. You have a lot to be happy for. You have a lot to be thankful for. Let's praise. Brother Tracy said it this morning. I mean, he couldn't summarize this any better. There is a time for prayer, and there's a time for praise. And we have to purpose to do both. If we're going to pour out our hearts to God, that's perfectly fine. But when we get done pouring, let's take time to praise and say, thank you, God, for the way that you've met my other needs. Thank you for the way you're going to meet this need, that prayer of hope. I am expecting you to work this out. And he will. It may not be the way you planned, but he will work it out. And he'll work it out for our good. Because what we think's good may not really be good. But he gave us this word for a reason. And it is a comfort to our soul if we'll pick it up and read it. I heard a song on the radio this morning. It was talking about the old King James. And it said something about the mom gave it to the son. And she said, when you're feeling down, read it. And I said, well, that's good. But you should read it more than just when you're feeling down. You should read it all the time. It almost implied, you know, the rest of the time it can sit on the shelf and get dusty. But when you're feeling bad, pull it out. You should pull it out when you're feeling bad. I just said that. But don't let that be the only time. Because it might prevent us from getting down in the first place if we'd spend a little more time in here and a little less time thinking about our troubles.
You have been listening to A Word Fitly Spoken with Christian author and speaker, Dana Rongioni. For more information about Dana and her ministry, visit danarongioni.com. That's danarongioni.com. Thank you, and have a blessed day.